Our church is really blessed to have today's speaker on staff. Mark Johnson is one of our junior high leaders, and he's been doing junior high work for 17 years. Still going strong, right? And I think everyone would agree that he's exceptionally gifted at what he does. He knows how to make learning the Bible and getting to know God fun and exciting. The Sunday after Thanksgiving, I walk in to pick up my son at the junior high meeting. There's Mark Johnson. There's my son, completely covered head to toe in mashed potatoes. It was mashed potato war night, which I was not aware of. I mean, in the hair, in between the toes, everything. So it was funny because I was on the way home. I had to stop at the store, and I had Alec in the back seat with under, you know, trash bags. And I came out of the store, and he goes, "Mom, I think I've crusted over." But he had a good time for sure. But not only is Mark a lot of fun, but he's also a great Bible teacher and really knows how to connect with the kids as well. I texted my 17-year-old son, Luke, this morning. I said, "I'm introducing Mark Johnson. What should I say about him?" And he said, "He is great with kids, and everyone he meets loves him. Even if they see him like 10 years later, they still love to talk to him." So thanks, Mark, for using your gifting to serve our kids. So today he's going to talk about the role of technology in our kids, and I, for one, am very interested to hear what he has observed over these 17 years of working with kids. So let me pray real quick and we'll bring them up. God, we just thank you for all these parents here today. And I know they really love their kids and want to be good parents. So I just pray that you'll use this morning to help them in their role there. And we just thank you for Mark and pray that you will continue to give him all the wisdom and strength he needs to lead the junior high ministry. In Jesus' name, amen.
We good? There we go. So we finally got all these junior high boys to shower just by covering them in mashed potatoes. That's all you got to do. I hope none of them went to bed without showering. That'd be horrifying. This? Oh, yeah. It's not a Walkman. It's the off-brand. But I listened to this for hundreds of hours. How many of you guys had a really sweet cassette player? Yeah, people are like, "I did, but there's no way I'm admitting how into it I was." Yeah, when I pulled this out, people would be like, "Ooh, there's buttons." Have any of you guys like listened to a tape lately? It's terrible. There's this horrible hiss all the time behind the music, and to get to the song, do you remember, like, too far, right? All right, so kids today are really interested in technology, just like we were, but the technology has gotten way better, or at least different. And I know this is, from talking with kids, they know that this area of technology is a big deal and something that is cool and fun, but also has this side of danger to it. Talking with students this weekend, they also understood that this whole thing with technology and, you know, the stuff they're into, phones, the internet, MP3 players, you know, whatever it is something that is a central source of conflict with their siblings and with their parents. And so you guys, you know, have a challenge. You know, when do you introduce stuff to your kids? How much do you let them be involved? How much do you monitor and control what they're into? That's really hard. But for me, I know that I'm actually kind of into technology. I really like all that kind of stuff. My dad was an early geek, so we had a computer in our house from, like, I think it was 81 that we got a computer, which was, like, before my friends. But I didn't brag about it because it wasn't cool then. And my dad would write us programs so that we could play games. That's what you had to do back in the day. But Yeah, so I've been real into this kind of stuff. The kinds of things that I spent a lot of time coveting, a lot of them are electronic guitar software. You're not so into that? Weird. All right. So what? Yeah, cassettes. It's come a long way. Any MP3 player, the worst one, is way better than that tape player. That thing still works too, which is sort of shocking. And I eventually will probably digitize a couple of tapes. But why would you? Because it's the whole time. Check it out. It's terrible. All right. What are some positives about dealing with technology with your kids? And then what are some of the negatives? That's actually a question for you guys. What are some what are the benefits of having all this information technology available to us?
Over here.
Yeah.
I got a microphone. Last minute reports due the night before. I was like, oh my God, this would have killed me when I was in high school that I didn't do this. Now we can just sit down and find anything we need. That's like
that is
awesome.
Good.
Library's closed and it doesn't matter.
Yep. That's great. Having access to so much information at all times. What's the weather in this city? Instant, you can know it. What's the definition of this word? You can instantly know it. What is, convert this thing to that thing? Oh, wait, where is that company located? Instant access to that kind of information. It's really convenient. I mean, people don't sit there and debate about factual things anymore. You just look it up. Then you're like, I told you. And I think that's really good. What else? What's good? Yeah.
You can Skype. Like, my kids Skype their grandparents in Florida, and they see everything, and they can literally watch my son play piano while he's playing, and it's pretty cool.
That is awesome. I mean, isn't this the promise of the information age, right? Instant connection with other people all the way around the world. I've only gotten to Skype once, but it was sweet. We were talking to people in Thailand, real time, for free. That's really cool. Yeah, there's some good stuff about it. And it's good enough that there's information technology that you're into.
Yeah. You can have really fun, motivating learning programs, like make it really interesting for kids who are easily bored.
That's true. You can learn a lot and make it way more interactive, keep kids engaged. That's totally true. Keep in mind when television came out, well, and when radio came out too, the promise was the masses will be educated. And I think we all believe that television makes us smarter. You hear people quoting stuff they learned on NCIS or something. It's like, you know it's not real, right? Yeah, but what else is good? Julie?
When you're learning about a new country, you can just plug it in and find out where it's at and then look at different, like the culture, pictures of dancing or people, and then you can go to YouTube and pull up actual people dancing or eating food or music or whatever, and kids can kind of have like a whole cultural experience in a few minutes.
Man, that is totally awesome. You don't want to drop, you know, 10 grand for your family to go somewhere. You can still help your kids understand that. Look, this, what we have here is not everything. There's this whole world out there. If you're trying to, you know, get your kids interested in spiritual things, like that God is concerned about people all over the place, that the problems that you're experiencing are normal and actually small compared with things that are happening other places, that's great. Anything else? What are positives?
This will probably make you cringe, but I can keep my son, my 5-year-old son, busy during lunch when I have lunch with a friend.
That does not make me cringe. I actually believe that this is an appropriate use of technology to a certain extent. Think of what you'd have to do Like, how would you get stuff ready if the power went out? How would you get out the door without any power? Well, because things have batteries. Right? But yeah, like, it's good for you to have deep conversations with your peers. And, you know, putting the kid on the electronic crack for a little while is a pretty effective way to have that happen. It's so effective that it gets way overused. But I don't cringe at that. I think that this is a potential real positive benefit to parents, is that you can get other stuff done.
Sorry, I do have another one. We have family locator on their cell phones. So we know,
Elise,
without them knowing, so we know exactly where they are all the time.
Parental spying has gone to a totally new level. Yes. Hey, where'd you go? This place? Really? How was that? Yeah. You can threaten them with the you know, we can turn that on. Okay, here's where I was. That's good. All right, what are the negatives? I know a lot of parents feel fearful about stuff. What worst case scenario kind of stuff, yeah?
Sorry, I've got kids that are into this. Definitely a negative. My niece is on Facebook, my sweet, innocent 18-year-old niece. And negative is clearly, boy, they just don't have a filter on what not to post, what not to show, what not to say. And I don't think they even understand how that affects the people who know them, love them, and their future.
Man, that's a big deal. Oversharing, not understanding that the stuff that they put out is available to everybody. I mean, think of the embarrassing things that you did when you were in middle school. And now imagine if the entire world could see them. Like, it felt like the entire world saw them. But imagine if now, like, the world would actually know. That is a danger. Yeah.
Well, one of the positives that you can find information at the snap of a keyboard, and there's a lot of information I don't want my kids to know about or find.
That's right. Yeah, it's like teaching a kid to ride a bike right next to a cliff. You can get around really fast, but you can get in a world of trouble really, really early. Yep.
Yeah, along with that, like, again, the YouTube, you can type in Dora or something totally innocent, and the first four or five clips are just little segments, five-minute clips from a Dora thing, and then number six is a twisted, perverted, someone did something to Dora, and you're just like, yeah! Quick, shut it down, and it's just like, oh, my goodness. And then after that pulls up, then beneath YouTube are all these other inappropriate things that one linked to, and there's no way to separate the good Dora from the bad Dora.
Yeah. And so here you have kids that are a couple clicks away from learning stuff that you do not want them to learn yet. The world's broken and twisted, and there is a lot of messed up stuff, and it's easier than ever for kids to get into that, and more common than ever. Jess?
When I was in college, I read this book called The Boredom Effect, and The Boredom Effect, and so, like, kids would be bored, and then that would spark their creativity, whereas now it's so much easier to be like, I'm bored, let's turn on the TV, and a lot of times they can take that as, this is my given right, not, this is a privilege, so.
That's a great point, yeah, and so, you know, you think of what that could mean for people and their productivity, having a useful, meaningful life, it could really erode their ability to do that. And so we could be raising a whole generation of do-nothings. Yeah, Megan?
Aren't they saying, too, you know, with video games and stuff, that kids just don't have, I don't know, what is it, the attention span or, you know...
I'm sorry, what was that? I lost focus. Yeah.
they can't think, you know, outside of a structured situation now.
Yes. I think that is a potential real negative thing. That everything's always been created for them. They can't do anything for themselves. They're being trained to be just, you know, dependent.
The lack of personal interaction.
You think personal human interaction is important?
A little bit.
Weird.
Human interaction.
Yeah, seriously.
In the personal way.
I mean, I remember back in the day, this was 10 years ago or more, we heard about this girl who was coming out to our group, and instead of dealing with a conflict, she and her roommate both had blogs, and so they'd complain about each other on their blog, knowing that the other person would read it, instead of just going and addressing their, you didn't do the dishes or whatever it was, you know? And we were like, ew! And now that's like not that uncommon. Yeah? Yeah, it's easier than ever to bully people. Yep. I believe that one of the main things that the internet is good at is mocking people. It's probably the thing it's the best at. And some of it's really fun. And there's this whole world of sport mockery. It says in the end times, mockers will come with their mocking. I think we see that. Yeah. Okay. So there's potential good things. Oh, did you have something? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it was sort of along the lines of personal interaction, but the ability to have a deep conversation, to really think deeply about anything. Mm-hmm. I was even reading that our ability to read longer than one page at a time is really being diminished just from, and I find myself, and I did have a Walkman off-brand, of course, with the orange headphones, but that when I see something, it's like, oh, is this 5 pages long? I don't think, yeah, that's kind of long. You know, and I didn't grow up like that either, so.
That's a great point.
Spiritual things, because it takes a long time. I think it takes a long time and a lot of thinking about the Lord and the principles of Christianity, and that's not surface, quick, one-page stuff.
That's true. So what we're hearing is that kids can get into a whole bunch of bad stuff really quickly. They can be bullied from the outside. It can potentially erode their ability to think deeply and have self-control. I think these are concerns. And, there are active people studying the impact of all this information technology, and they keep getting conflicting, reports. Do violent video games produce violent results? Maybe. Maybe not. It's hard to tell. All these, reports conflict. Yeah. But isn't it true at your house that, especially if your kids are a little bit older, some of the main things that kids fight over is access to whatever, the video game, phone, whatever it is. TV. Me and my sister fought bitterly over the TV remote. Yeah. Just like you guys did, right? Like, on the one hand, this stuff is concerning and worth thinking about. On the other hand, we had access to technology, too. The scale was a little bit different. And probably the amount of privacy that we had was a little bit different. But, yeah, there's a lot of, this is one aspect in a whole bunch of variables that are going on. So, I want to look at three principles from one passage of how can we go about helping kids set good priorities, all right? So three principles. This is going to be from 1 Peter chapter 4, starting verse 7. If you don't have a Bible, there's a whole rack of them in the back, I think, maybe. I probably should have put the verses up, but I did not. But if you want to just trust what I say about the Bible, then you don't need to look for yourself. Okay, let me read this passage. This is 1 Peter chapter 4, starting verse 7. The end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. For love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. So the promise of technology is that it's going to change things for the better. We're going to have access to the information that we need to be better people, and using this is going to transform us. It's going to transform society. You know, all this information on the internet and people being able to know what's happening immediately is going to spread democracy and cause a utopia. Wars will end. People will learn to get along with each other, or maybe not all people with all people, but you'll be able to find your little subgroup that you connect with, and we are going to have, it's finally going to work. The Bible, like, completely disagrees with that. We can't save ourselves. We're not going to. The world is going to end. All this technology, it's not going to fix the underlying problem that we have. We still are going to hate and be hated. We're still going to have a really hard time getting along. It's not the solution. And so it's foolish for us to put our trust and be, you know, foolishly optimistic. It's just, it takes this breathtaking naivete to believe that information technology is going to save us. It won't. And it's pretty, I mean, we're going to create technology that, we've already created so many different kinds of technology that could destroy us all. It's not going to save us. We have to look somewhere else to be saved. Look what Francis Schaeffer, It's All Gonna Burn. Francis Schaeffer in the 70s, this was like early 70s, he said, in our culture, nothing has exhibited such folly more than the automobile. And put in whatever technology you want now. Go to a showroom and see the pride with which a man drives out his new car or gets his new phone or, you know, new computer or whatever it is. Then think of an automobile graveyard or a rusting, stripped, junked car abandoned on a city street. There are shells screaming out tremendous sermons against all practical materialism, which is believing that stuff is going to make us happy. You fools, you're fools, you're fools. And Christians, as well as many others, can be such fools with their wealth. And so this is from the early 70s that he's saying this, and you just switch out a couple of the nouns, and it's exactly how it is now. Like, let me show you the first smartphone that I ever had. I was an early adopter. I carried around a PDA forever. Look at this thing. How many of you are coveting that? Like to carry that in your pocket all day long? No way. It's like a brick. It wouldn't even make a good skipping stone. That's how bad this is. And yet, this was like, this reduced the amount that I was carrying around. And I was so excited to have it. And now it's like worth less than nothing after a short amount of time because it's been replaced. Everything that you want, and when we're dealing with kids, it's important for them to understand that everything that they want, every material thing that they want, will someday become trash. Everything that they have, the most valuable possession that they have, will one day be garbage. It's all going to burn. And so it's stupid to put your trust in that. It's stupid to have all of your focus and attention be on that thing. Now, this applies to you as parents, too, because it's really easy for you to get into the latest technology. It's, you know, just your tastes are different than theirs. You know, the car, the phone, the stereo, the house, whatever it is. It's all going to burn. Are you modeling for your kids that this is your outlook on life? Stuff is not going to save us. These things, they might be nice, they are not going to be the thing that define whether our life is productive or meaningful or filled with joy. And every old cell phone is screaming out, you're fools for putting your trust in this stuff. Every old, outdated video game is saying you're stupid for believing that this is going to satisfy you. And kids, they don't have that much life experience. They don't know that the most precious things to them will one day be totally discarded. And it's important for them to have that, to start to get that sense, so they don't waste their life being into the wrong things. Yeah, Francis Schaeffer had a really good point there. I think it's good for us, and it's something that's really good for us so that we can model for our kids. Especially this time of year, when it's like, it's time to covet. Oh yeah, season of giving, right. Season for me to get some good toys. It's all going to burn. All right, here's a couple of specific things. Help your kids learn to critique content. As your kids get older, the amount of control that you have over them decreases. Even if you've got really awesome guidelines that are well thought through on, you know, when and how much kids can get in, you know, to their information technology, their friends do not share your concerns. And it's more and more common for kids to have, you know, smartphones or an iPad or an iPod Touch with, you know, unrestricted internet access. Your kids are going to get exposed to information that you don't want them exposed to at some point. So the question is, when that happens, are they going to have tools to be able to deal with that or not? So especially as kids get older, instead of just forbidding them from having any access, helping them to critique the content that they have is more and more important. So having an open dialogue with you as a parent should be a prerequisite for them having access to a phone or Facebook or things like that. They have to, you know, just like any other responsibility, they have to show that there is some consistency of being open and honest before you should trust them with that. When you're watching TV together or, you know, looking at stuff on the internet together, get in the habit of critiquing the advertisements that your kids see. What is the claim that that ad is making? Is that claim true or a lie? If you get this new mouthwash, people will like you better. That's partly true, right? Seriously, oral hygiene, it's a good thing. But not fully true. If you buy this model of car, then the opposite sex will find you sexually attractive. Only partly true. But having those kind of talks and mocking the stupid ones, it's fun, and it's important for your kids to be able to see that they're being lied to constantly. It's okay for them to be naive when they're young, but we want them to grow and have their eyes open so that they're not tricked constantly. Be willing to remove any information technology if it interferes with higher priorities. This takes a monumental amount of will as a parent. I don't know if I could do it, because it'll cost you money and it'll cause conflict. It's all going to burn. It's temporary. Are you willing to remove temporary things to encourage eternal values? Or are you being as foolish as, you know, our culture teaches us to be? It's all going to burn. So that's principle number one. Principle number two, he goes on to say, the end of the world is coming soon, therefore be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. This is exactly, you know, the kinds of things that were happening. What are we concerned about? We're concerned that our kids will be totally undisciplined. That they'll, you know, and earnest means honest, genuine. And one thing, you know, you look around, anyone can make any claim that they want about themselves. I think people have always, you know, put up their facade, but the facades are way easier to make now. And so there's this sense that everything is fake. There's nothing earnest. There's nothing sincere. And we fake our way through things because we don't believe that this is temporary, that it's all going to come to crashing down. Ask God to, you know, help make you really genuinely sincere about important things. Ask God to help you develop a disciplined prayer life where you're praying. You've got a list of people that you pray for every day. You've got issues that you bring to mind to pray about. Help your kids learn to be disciplined in their thinking. It's really hard. This is a question that I asked kids on Sunday was, what's it like trying to pray after you've just spent many hours playing video games? They're like, oh, Jesus, almost impossible. Yes, it is. It's hard to have a disciplined prayer life when you're completely absorbed in selfish things. And so helping kids learn, like, this is temporary. There's stuff that's really important. And we need to prioritize drawing close to God on our own. All right, principle number two. He goes on, and it says, most important of all, this is 1 Peter 4:8. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Anytime in the Bible where it says, most importantly, that's a clue that he's going to say something important. Most important, show deep love for other people. The mantra in my house growing up, I didn't cause it. This is my mom said this constantly. People are more important. People are more important. One of the things that I get annoyed about and I will not tolerate with kids is they put their headphones on in social situations. No, people are more important. This happens most weeks. I'll go up and grab their earphones from them and scream into the earphone, people are more important. And they're like, it doesn't even work that way. But it does. You can look into it if you want. People are more important. Anything that you have should be used to love other people. And I think, you know, the fears that we have is that the kids getting involved in information technology, whatever kind of thing it is, will suck their attention away from other people. And it'll prevent them from genuinely caring about people, from being motivated to put other people before them. And this is, I mean, main developmental task if you want your kid to be spiritually minded is learning to love other people. And so this is the thing. He says, most importantly of all, continue to show deep love for each other. Is this something that you're modeling? Here's some specifics on this. Make sure that you are growing in love. This year, have you made some progress? Are you able to love people that you couldn't love last year? Has the depth of your love increased for other people? The opposite of being loving in this context is being addicted. This is, and you realize that can't put it down, addictive, are like the new slogans for video games, right? Totally immersive. Great. You won't even care about the outside world. Wear a diaper before you start this game. Part of the attraction to this, and this is, you know, I've thought quite a bit about, do these real immersive video games, do they cause people to become very isolated socially? Or is it just that people that are, you know, can't connect, are attracted to those kind of games. I don't know. I don't know what comes first. But I do know that any kind of addiction erodes your ability to love other people deeply. And so are you addicted to anything? I think one of the horrifying things for parents is that kids end up having the strengths and weaknesses that you have. And they have the same kind of idolatry problems that you have. Is it hard for you to shut Facebook down? Well, then you should expect that it's going to be hard for your kids to shut something else down. Are you making progress at overcoming these kinds of addictions so that you can love? Or are you modeling that it's all about you to your kids? We did a study a number of years ago to try and determine what are the key factors in predicting whether kids will succeed spiritually. And we found that the number one thing was that their parents had a vital walk with God and were involved in serving other people. If that happened, almost all those kids walked with the Lord. Then we had, you know, if kids' parents were completely against God, hated everything about it, they did pretty good. And if their parents were sort of into God, none of them walked with the Lord. Like almost zero. Way more than any outside influence, you are the most important influence for your kids. And so if you're going to teach your kids to have healthy attitudes towards technology, it's really important that you are progressing and growing in this area. Are you modeling these kind of good, loving attitudes? And remember, loving discipline is a real key aspect of love with kids. Prioritize your kids' spiritual and relational development and encourage face-to-face conversations. With things being busy, it's a good idea to schedule this kind of stuff. You know, any time I want to get focused time with anybody, I have to schedule time and go in intentionally to do it. Every once in a while, you know, you get these really great conversations that are sort of spontaneous. Those things are awesome. They're way more likely to happen if they're planned out. So are you modeling that? That it's important for you to have these face-to-face conversations with your kids. Do they know that that's something important to you? Are you developing deep friendships with your peers? Or are you just sitting there clicking through the channels? Good. Then prioritize your kids being loving. A lot of kids go one of two directions. They either get real fearful or real mean when they get selfish. Some people, when they're being selfish, they totally withdraw from people. And they're intimidated. They just want to keep their small little group that they feel comfortable with, or just by themselves, or have things, you know. And they just isolate more and more. Other people, when they get selfish, they go out and they, you know, look to control or hurt or those kind of things. Know what your kid is like. Help them to choose against that and go towards loving people deeply. All right, last thing. Last principle, cheerfully share. Look at this. Verse 9, cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. That word cheerfully share your home, it's actually one word in the Greek. It's something like philoxenos, so love strangers. Are you modeling a love for strangers? This is how do we show that people are more important. How do we love other people? Well, we're really interested in all people, even people that are not in our group. Are you having people over to your house? Man, this is like some of my favorite memories from childhood was when we had people over. It's so fun. People are fascinating, especially if you've learned how to draw people out and find out what they're interested in. People are amazing. way better than any video game. And having this kind of love for outsiders is exciting. So cheerfully share. Teach your kids to share the things that are most valuable to them, which a lot of times are these technology things. I know when my cousins came over, I hid my best toys. And part of it was because they broke everything, you know? And part of it was because I was wicked and sinful, and I wanted my nice stuff, and I didn't want people to mess with it. When we go on trips, I do not forbid kids from bringing their technology with middle school. But what I tell them is, you're free to bring anything that you want to share to make the whole experience better for everybody. And so if you think bringing your MP3 player will really help do that, then you're totally free to try. And if you want to bring that expensive thing that might get broken if you share it, well, that's great. As long as your attitude on the front side is, you know, that you're here to share this, that's cool. And so I'm not against, on principle, kids having phones or internet access or those kind of things, as long as they keep in mind that people are more important and that this is something that God has given me to share with other people. I think that ends up mitigating a lot of the risks and problems with it if they're being others focused. It's the same thing. Are you using your stuff, the good stuff, the stuff that you like the most, are you using it to share with other people? Or is it your private stuff for your good, you get it, and no one else does? Because kids pick up on that. And they will follow your model on that. But this is hard. I mean, this is hard for adults that have been, you know, intentionally growing spiritually for a long time. This feels like cheerfully sharing their good stuff. It feels like dying to a kid. Because it is dying. It's sacrificing these desires for self, for other people. And it really is a form of dying. And it's one of the most healthy forms of dying for any person, especially kids. People are more important. Cheerfully share everything that you have. One thing for you guys, are there things that you are unwilling to share? I'd challenge you before God to seriously consider getting rid of it. Because anything you won't share will be poison to your soul. And that poison for your soul will poison your kids. Those things that you won't share, it's going to burn. It will eventually be trash. And every junkyard all around this city is screaming out, you're a fool for putting your trust in that. People are way more important. Learn to cheerfully share. These are the three principles from this passage on dealing with this. Model hospitality and generosity. Make time in your schedule to get your neighbors over or friends over. Have fun. And then this was really cool. On Sunday, I asked this question to kids, like, how can you use the technology that you have to serve? And they were able to come up with really good ideas. I was like, is it even possible to use a video game to serve someone else? And they were like, yes, because you can, you know, especially with the ones where you're talking on Xbox Live or something like that, you can actually meet people and, you know, make friends. We had a thing at our junior high Bible study where we had a video game party and, you know, people came over and killed each other. It was pretty fun. Not so fun for me because I'm terrible. I'm all stuck in the corner like, where am I? And they're coming and stabbing me. I've got a machine gun and they come and stab me. That's sad. At Christmas, as you're opening up presents, man, how could you use that to build friendships? How can you share this? Get your kids thinking that way. Oh man, this is going to be so fun to bring your friends over and play with. And emphasize the relational component of whatever stuff that they have. Okay, just a couple of other things that didn't really fit. Unrestricted access, giving your kids unrestricted access is stupid. It's so dumb. It's so foolish when parents give a kid a smartphone with no protection. It's so dangerous for kids. And understand that there's going to be all sorts of other parents that do that around your kids. I know what I learned on the school bus, and I didn't have an unrestricted internet access. I'm totally against kids having this stuff in their rooms unattended. TVs, computers, these things are, all of the danger is exponentially worse when you're by yourself. Hey, here's this bomb. Would you like to go play with it by yourself? It's just really, really bad. Kids, they're sinners. They're going to do bad stuff. Just pray that they'll get caught. We've had, man, this is, I think this is part of why God made kids stupid in this way, so that they get caught and don't continue. The kids who are sophisticated at sinning end up getting and hurting themselves way worse. Pray that your kids will get caught. Pray that they'll get caught when they're lying. If your kids are doing inappropriate stuff online or with whatever technology that they have, pray that they'd get caught. I honestly don't think I got away with anything growing up. My parents prayed that I'd get caught. I got busted for everything, miraculously busted. It was terrible and really good. I'm glad now. But I was like, I might as well tell the truth, because otherwise I'll just get in trouble. They'll find out somehow. Pray that your kids will get caught. If your kids are in danger, pray that God would expose that so that you can help them. Anecdotally, when I'll go and talk with the junior high boys about, you know, sexuality and things like that, one of the questions I always ask is, how many of you guys have seen internet porn? And by the middle of eighth grade, almost every single boy has had some access to it. A lot of it was accidental. They clicked on something at some site and there was an ad that came up that was pornographic. And they felt guilty and stuff like that about and totally intrigued by. So pray that this stuff would come out. Make sure that you are personally really moving towards the Lord on this, and think of, you know, what's going on with you in this area of technology. What are the things that are so precious to you that you don't share? It's all going to burn. People are more important. So cheerfully share everything that you have. All right. So the question I have for you guys, what are some ways that you can use technology to love? And then what are some ideas that you guys either have now or that you've put in place to help your kids, you know, learn to love and to use their technology to love? Or any other question or comment?
My best friend from junior high is a missionary in Mexico. She cares for 19 kids that were abandoned or abused or neglected or whatever. And she has a blog that she writes and puts videos and pictures. And so my kids love reading her blogs, hearing what her kids are doing, watching them come out of their house, watching them go to school. And then, you know, we can pray for those kids that she loves. And then when she comes home, we get to go to her church and see her. And my kids are just like, it's really her, you know. So it's neat to have that connection between that there are things that are, excuse me, that are real, and we can be praying for these things, and it's been sweet.
Man, that is awesome. That's great. Like having this focus time where you're online together to do something great with your kids, that could be awesome. And especially with people that you know that are doing awesome work other places in the country, keeping up on that with that stuff as a family, that would be, that's incredible. That's a great idea. Yep.
So I don't know if this exactly answers your question, but we made a decision. Our children are fairly young, still 11 and down. But we made a decision to get some technology that we don't really like, you know, like the video games or whatever. It's against everything that I am about to get it. But at the same time, I didn't want my children to feel like they couldn't relate to their friends. And so when their friends would come over, our house was the boring house because we didn't have anything. Or if my children went over to their friends, they, you know, were complete klutzes, you know, on the video games or whatever. So actually, we got the video games with the intention that they wouldn't get a lot of exposure, but that they would get enough that they could keep up with their friends and be able to relate in that way, because that's how their friends are relating.
I think that's really good. How have they done? Like, have they gotten real addicted, or have they been okay? Has it worked?
We have three children. One of them is particularly interested and constantly wanting to play, but we just basically say you get like this amount of time per day, and you only get one electronic a day. So if you want to watch a movie, then you have to sacrifice the Wii or whatever. And so for the most part, it doesn't really take a whole lot of playing to be able to get good at it, to be able to get good enough at it.
Yep.
And we've definitely discovered that the more they play, the more they want to play, and if we restrict them, then their interest kind of wanes a little bit.
That's good. Yeah, I like the way that you're thinking about that too, that this is what my kids' friends are into. I want to make sure that I'm doing what I can to help my kid connect relationally. That's good. One thing that I would encourage is that you either have a place in your house or in your entire house where it's totally fine for kids to go crazy. My parents were champs at this. When I was my house was always the house that people came to play at, because my mom would let us like go wild, especially in certain places, but most of the house. That's the nice thing about not having a whole lot of nice things. This is a serious advantage of not getting a whole bunch of nice crap, is that you can have a lot more fun in your house. So, you know, we'd come over, in middle school, we had this big basement room, and the only furniture that was in it was this old mattress. And it was like World Wrestling Federation down there all the time. It was great. When I was in high school, we had this room in our house that was almost totally empty, and we played this game called Butt Ball in the house, where we took a 5-inch dodgeball, and this is like high school boys, like a dozen high school boys in one room in the house, and we were taking the ball and throwing it against the wall, and the object was to like get people points, and then you threw the ball at them. Oh, so fun. I went downstairs. My parents were home while this was happening. We did this constantly. One time I went downstairs and they were trying to watch TV directly below that room, and you could see the light fixture moving. And I had to raise my voice to talk to them. It was so loud. That was awesome. We didn't need any electronics because we were allowed to go crazy in the house. I'd strongly encourage a place like that in your house, especially if you have boys. It is not okay to have a museum at your house. Do you realize that this kind of rough play is one of the most important developmental things for boys? They need it. If they're going to be able to connect relationally, they need to have that kind of time where they're getting aggressive with other guys. It's fun. It will make your house smell terrible. And it's completely worth it. So either move the valuables out of the room or just decide if they get broken, then I am okay with it. But man, this is, it's so fun. But not if your house is so, it's okay to have some things that are not allowed to get broken. But do you have anywhere where the kids can really go at it? That would be really, really good. Yeah.
I don't have anything breakable in my family room either. But I have two boys, one's 19 and one's 16, but my 16-year-old was asking me why the carpet was all matted down in the family room, and I'm like, well, it got a lot of traffic. And I don't think he remembers all the wrestling matches right, and all that stuff. But
Because of the concussions?
Yeah. That's it. But one thing that I know is having the space, you're right, having the space in the video games. And my oldest is coming home on leave. He's in the Navy, and he'll be home on leave for 2 weeks in January, 1st of January. And his friends will come over. They're not walking. Most of them aren't believers. He's not walking. And I was really convicted recently about how I know his friends will come over. They come to my house, even though I don't know, even though I don't really want them. That was what I was convicted about, that I don't want them there. But that all these kids come over to play video games and to hang out. And I don't even have the biggest TV, although I will after Christmas, I found out from my mom. But yeah, to be able to have the stuff so that it is a place where they want to hang out. And this year I will make food and encourage that more. But the other thing I was going to say is that using technology to love, in contrast to this woman, I've never bought a video game system. I've never paid for a video game, and I've never paid for a phone for a kid. And that, I think, has helped teach them how much do you really value it and how much these things really cost and what can the money go towards and stuff like that. They've had everything, but they've saved for it and practiced that themselves in that way.
I think that can be great. And a lot of this is determined. The thing that I'm arguing for is that the decisions that you make on this are customized for your kid. I do have opinions on when and how much and that kind of stuff, but I think it's really hard to apply in a general way, especially because you got kids at different ages. You know, this week the kid's doing awesome, and it would be great for them to be rewarded with this. This other day they're terrible, and there's no way, you know. Or this kid has this predisposition to get addicted to this kind of thing. Well, they need some more boundaries than the kid that, like, likes it, but, you know, whatever, would rather do something else. And so it's important. I mean, this is the hard thing about working with kids, right, is that it's hard to tell where they're at, what's going to be good for them. The fact that you're concerned about this, though, is super important as a parent. The fact that you're here is awesome, that you're looking for insight and how you can love your kids better. That is so fantastic. I love that parents do that. That is incredible. This is so good.
I'd like to hear your opinions on when, where, how much.
No.
And it's a constant tension in our home, yeah. Like monitoring their time. It's like we tried this technique and, you know, and that peters out. And then we try something new to, you know, keep it monitored. But it's really tough to do something consistently. Do you have any ideas?
No. But but I totally feel the tension. And for instance, like I said, I'm not against kids having phones. But I was hanging out with a boy from my junior high Bible study recently, and the whole time. I was hanging out with him one-on-one, and almost the whole time he was texting. That's like, come on, I'm a real person. I'm right here, and I'm here to hang out with you. And it's annoying, you know? You know? I made fun of him. I said exactly what I just said. Dude, I'm real. I'm right here. Yeah. Okay, so that's a problem. And this is a kid who is concerned about his friend who's depressed, and so we looked up some verses, and he immediately texted that friend with those verses. That's pretty good. So it's like, I'm annoyed, but there's this other really good thing at the same time. And this is, I mean, this is, people are so complex, right? It's, this is why it's so hard to say, like, here's the technique that will work for your thing. It totally depends. The fact that you're trying stuff out is fantastic. Keep trying. I think it's less important for you to have the perfect solution than for your kids to see, this is what's important to me, and this is what our family prioritizes. We are going to find a way where we can use this stuff to make friends. That's what we're into. And the other stuff becomes technical. And you can look online and probably get tons of ideas on that. But the most important thing are the attitudes. We believe that all of this stuff is temporary. And so we don't put our hope in it. We believe that people are more important. And so we will gladly sacrifice all this crap, even the stuff that we like the best, for people. We believe that God gives, and so we want to share everything that we have with a good attitude. Those and that's why, like, I've really tried to just emphasize the principles in this passage. Try stuff, but don't think that it's not going to change. Like, this kind of stuff is negotiable, but the principles stay the same. And helping kids really buy into the principle that people are more important, that's something that then the technical stuff becomes just the technical, oh, well, this is the way that we're doing it right now, you know. Good. Yeah. Oh, wait, you've got a mic, and then.
To respond to her super fast, I'm a cut and dry person. It's got to be black and white, so we just shut it down Monday through Friday. They can only play on the weekends, so it does. There's no room for fighting. That's what it is. What it is. But that's just a thought. How you can teach your kids to love? I was really struck by when I was thinking about this really deeply, because I think with sacrificial love, we have an interesting situation because we have a 13-year-old, 11-year-old, and then a 4-year-old. Well, the 13-year-old can certainly play things that are a little more violent, a little more obstructive. Well, the 4-year-old tries to sneak downstairs, and I've really been talking to them a lot about, you know, do you understand what this is doing to your 4-year-old brother and how you're thinking about that? And so they have really become very sensitive to that sacrificial love of understanding that, you know, I've got to pause the game if I see my baby brother down here and he's, you know, and get him out of the room or, you know. And on that same token, there's times during the week where I'll say, you know, as a treat, you can play for 30 minutes with your little brother. And they will sacrificially go down there and play those younger games just to love their brother. And it builds that relationship that they have, because there is a 7-year gap, so it's kind of hard for them to relate on the same level. They don't want to play Candyland. So, you know, it's...
They definitely don't want to be seen playing Candyland.
Right.
I swear it was for my little brother. Yeah, I think that's great.
So, I don't know. Those are just kind of things that when I was thinking about teaching your kids in love, just... using it as a tool and, you know, being able to help them to understand what it is they're watching and how that sensitivity applies to all areas of their life.
That's great. I think that's really good. Yep.
I just wanted to, first of all, say thank you. I'm sure, I don't know what exactly your main goal was, but I feel like God is really speaking through you and speaking through the verses that you put up today. And right now I'm feeling very emotional. Gaming and the computer has really become an issue in the house. We've always, we always said we weren't going to have certain things. And we allowed the GameCube to come when our neighbor got the Xbox. And that was 2 years ago, and then last year we got the Wii. And we do keep, in general, we have tried to keep most gaming and computers not during the week. But then it would be like all day on Saturday. So that wasn't always very good either. Anyway,
I just thank you for this, and I encourage parents to really be prayerful about, because it's like, I want, like what Patty was saying, I want the answers. I want to know exactly what I need to do so that I can do it right. And I feel like I try all these strategies and haven't gotten there yet. Anyway, if you'll pray for my family, I'd appreciate it. I know last night it came down to a not very happy family by the time we were about to go to bed. And Daddy was really upset and realized after everyone was being upset that it was a result of my son's desire to have the possibility to be able to get on the computer before the end of the night. And that when he realized that wasn't going to happen, or TV time, I can't remember which, it became very ugly. And it's amazing how that that lust and that drive for when I play this computer game can take you over and turn you into a little mean little booger. And anyway, it did get very ugly, and it got, you know, to the point where my son and my husband was upstairs after being mad, and my son was downstairs, and he decided to go to the basement, and he said, I'm praying about what I should do, Mom. I don't know. I'm wondering if I need to break the Wii and crush the GameCube. And he did say that, you know, people, his family is more important than that.
That's great.
And anyway.
Yeah, that's good. I feel for you guys. This stuff's really hard. And I think that kind of situation is really typical, you know. It sucks being a sinner, you know. It sucks having to deal with other people that sin. This is like, and it's super hard for kids. Like, they want something really intensely. It's hard for them to say no. But I think it's great that they're starting to get a sense like, wow, this is a real problem. And the family is more important. My main point is people are more important. The main point of the passage is, you know, love deeply. And if there's things that are stopping you from loving, let's address that. I will say one thing, though. And this is especially as your kids get older. The black and white rules end up becoming less and less effective. And because what we want for kids to have to happen is for them to make choices from their heart, that this is what's important to me, and to start making their own choices. And especially, you know, as they get into later middle school and high school, the amount of time that you have with them, the amount of supervision that you can put on them, it's just less. You know, their friends are having access to this stuff, and they have to make decisions about that. And so having the right set of rules is real helpful with younger kids, but as the kids get older, having the right rules it shouldn't even be the thing you're trying to do. Rules aren't the answer. I mean, Paul said the law came so that sin would increase. And so this is, you know, if the rule is here's the limit, well, then I'm going to try and get every second up to that limit. And if you, you know, get in my way, well, then I'm going to destroy you, right? That's not the kind of attitude that we're looking for. We're looking for people are more important. I will, you know, let's play together. I would gladly sacrifice this. Or I'll do this when I can, you know, so that I can still serve other people. All right. Yeah, we'll do the last one.
I'm sorry. I have a real quick statement I wanted to say. Another thing that we learned recently, moral of the story is you can get a game and you can think that it's appropriate for your child, and then you start seeing outward actions, and then it takes you a while through these not fun experiences to realize that what may be appropriate for one child is not appropriate for your child, because it becomes important where we as the parents step in and say, okay, I think this is posing extra, I can't think of the words right now, that my son cannot process and handle this, and we have to take this away from him. And we did that with a recent video game, and it made a big difference. It was like, it was too much for him to handle, but he didn't know that, and mm-hmm. it took us a while to figure out that he couldn't handle that. So anyway, keep that in mind.
That's good. Yeah, all right, last one.
I just want to go back to the second half of verse 7.
Yeah.
It says, therefore be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm not the only one that struggles in remembering that I am not responsible for raising my children. I am responsible for a portion of it, mm-hmm. but that there is one parent who is inside of them, or has the opportunity to be inside of them, mm-hmm. who is going to be with them wherever they go. And it is not too early for me to pray for them that they would, like you said, be caught, or that they would gain discernment, yeah. or that the Lord would really reveal their own heart, you know, their selfish heart or whatever to them. I mean, if I really evaluate my priorities, my highest priority would be for them to grow up and to desire and require the Lord in their life. Yeah. And so, and then I think also, like, technology to some degree is just an exponential factor to whatever else is going on in their life. And if we can teach our children to serve in other areas or whatever, then maybe technology will be used for that or whatever I'm saying. But if we teach our children, or if our children don't have that opportunity to serve or whatever, then technology will expose that, you know. So I just think that, and we ourselves struggle so much. I know for sure I struggle in realizing, how do I rely on the Lord? How do I go about doing that? Well, our children aren't going to be born knowing that either, you know. So I don't know. I just didn't want to skip over that part of the
Yeah,
verse.
That's good. I know. My best friend was a real big gamer through high school and was on the track to be the, like, guy in a lonely guy in a room playing video games for his life, and started through actually getting coerced into serving other people, and it totally revolutionized his life. And once you've experienced the joy of loving other people and having God use you in other people's lives, other things just aren't, they don't hold the same amount of power over you. So that's good. If we can get our kids to experience the joy of loving other people, then that, you know, it helps with all the other stuff. Like it says, love covers over a multitude of sins. Good. All right. Well, let me pray, and I'm happy to stick around for a few minutes too if you guys have more stuff you want to talk about. God, thank you that you love us, even though we don't deserve it. I thank you, Lord, that your love covers over our sin. We deserve your judgment, and instead you paid with your son so that we could have a relationship with you, and we praise you for that. I thank you, God, that you know what's going on with the kids that are represented by the parents in this room. Thank you that you love them, that you are committed to doing, you know, whatever it's going to take to develop them into men and women who love you and who have an awesome life. I pray that you'd strengthen these parents. Pray that you'd help them to draw close to you, to have a deep love for their kids, and that the kids would really benefit from these parents, you know, actively seeking out your wisdom. Amen.